Hello and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast. We got a great show for you today. We got some current news. We're going to talk about the Amazon Fire TV and Stick, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the new animation revolution. Stick around, you don't want to miss it.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast. I'm still your host. This is Drew hanging out with you here today. Want to get into a little bit of news here regarding some premieres, maybe some finales that you may or may not have missed. It's been a bit of a snoozer here on the NBA Finals. Wouldn't be surprised if you went to your regular shows a little bit earlier than you might otherwise would have, because Golden State is simply crushing it right now. Going through here, Game of Thrones always going to be in the news, always delivering quality programming. Here we finally got Ian McShane making his appearance in the show. Not going to really spoil what happens on the show. I want to let you guys go to it, but Ian McShane bringing even more gravitas to this show that already has it in abundance from Deadwood. If you didn't catch that, he's a great actor. Only going to make this show even better. We had Archer going off. There looks like there was finale for that one. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Archer later on in the show. But a news point that won't be regarding what I talk about later on is two of the producers of Archer are talking about doing a live-action movie. And, of course, they're wanting to talk about Jon Hamm possibly playing Archer. I don't know if really the direction of the show would necessitate doing a movie or how cartoonish that would end up being, but we'll see what ends up happening. Supergirl, as we previously mentioned before, moving from network over to CW, where it can finally join with The Flash and join with Arrow. They're looking to cast Kal-El, a.k.a. Superman, so further distancing the film universe away from the TV universe. I don't imagine that Kal-El's going to have a huge part regarding, you know, how this show goes. I don't think they'll want to mix too much in with it, but they will have somebody playing Kal-El. We don't know if he'll be Superman at this point, whether it be a baby, whether it be the kid, or what era of Superman we're going to have in there. So we'll end up finding out. Just recently here, there was also the miniseries Roots. They recently redid Roots, the original book written by Alex Haley, who also co-wrote the Malcolm X autobiography with Malcolm X. Did it back in the 70s. It was a huge television event starring LeVar Burton. I'm pretty sure a lot of you have seen that. It's a Kuta Kinte. LeVar Burton actually does appear in this one. I think he's one of the executive producers as well, but there's tons of people, tons of celebs here in the new Roots. I'm probably going to sit down and try to watch it one weekend the whole way through. But that's just wrapping up, which is pretty cool. Definitely the production. I think Mario Van Peebles was involved with that. Kind of expecting a cool scene, maybe if Kuta Kinte just pulls out a gun and starts gapping people wearing sunglasses, Mario Van Peebles style. I'm sorry, if you don't know who Marvin Peebles is, just Google it, all right? We also have news that Outlander, which is a Stars broadcast, it's a great time travel show, that has been renewed, so that's going to go on for another season. So that'll be pretty exciting coming back. And also, if you didn't know, currently in the works right now. They're filming a new season of Prison Break, or at least I'm assuming it's a new season, maybe just a television movie. The series ran from 2005 to 2009. There was a very large break there. Obviously, something happened with Wentworth Miller. He was off the radar for quite a long time. He's come back. He's kind of doing a balancing act between this and Legends of Tomorrow, as he is Captain Cold. Recent news here is Dominic Purcell, that plays the older brother, was injured during filming, but it doesn't look like they're going to slow down production, so everybody should still be pretty excited about that. If you're a big fan of Prison Break coming back, there's also going to be a spinoff video game involving that as well, so we'll see how that ends up coming out. We also have the premiere of Maya and Martin, starring Maya Rudolph and Martin Short. Maya Rudolph, as you all know, mostly from SNL fame, was a bit in the Moving Pictures after she left there. Martin Short, an older household name, they will not stop giving this guy chances there at success on TV. It's a variety show. You know, Maya Rudolph does a lot of impressions. Martin Short is, well, I assume he's just going to be as flamboyant as ever. Interesting that they're doing a variety show or giving a chance on the variety show. Although, if you've seen the style, really, that Jimmy Fallon has brought back to The Tonight Show, that James Corden does on Late Night, really those are more oriented towards being more of a variety show rather than your typical interview show where they then go do little bits like, you know, Jay Leno at Jaywalking or David Letterman's Top 10. So they are going back to what seems to be a more lighthearted format here regarding some TV. And it's in great, great juxtaposition with all the really serious stuff that is just dominating TV right now. So really, you got to thank Jimmy Fallon for bringing that back in with the celebrity lip sync and the games and stuff that he does. Has shown that there is a market due to the YouTube video success of those portions of the show that would warrant bringing another program on there that's just going to focus on doing the variety portion. We'll see how that all turns out. I'm hoping, well, I like Maya Rudolph and Martin Short. I don't know, take them or leave them as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see how that comes out. Comedy shows, you know, are few and far between anymore. So check that out if you feel the need. That just premiered. Man, a lot's got to be said about bringing stuff back. Here we have, you know, Fuller House came back to Netflix. Voltron's going to be coming back. We'll get into that a little bit later. Twin Peaks, that is also set to come back. It looks like it's going to be a Showtime show. So it looks like it didn't get picked up by network, but Showtime's going to be able to bring it back. They're probably going to try to bring back a lot of the old cast members. So that'll be a lovely, you know, 20 to 30 year time frame change there. Looks like spring of next year. So they are wanting to bring back Twin Peaks. It was a somewhat successful, really had more of the cult following after it left the air. David Lynch produced and created, so it's a little on the weird side. But that'll be coming back. I think a lot of people look to watch that when it gets on there. I know it's a little bit of a letdown that it's Showtime. It's a premium channel, but right now, I mean, there are different avenues that you can get Showtime. We're going to talk about one here in just a second with the Amazon Fire, but it's also available on other things that we've discussed here, such as PlayStation View or Roku. So not too much of a bust. Really, HBO is kind of the one where you have to find the right thing in order to not have cable or satellite, whatever, and get that as a premium channel. So those types of things like Stars or Encore or Showtime, those are a little less out of reach now, which is pretty good news for the people that are wanting to get that type of programming. So we have the return of, like I said, Twin Peaks coming back. Some other things that went on, there was some new premieres, Rizzoli and Isles, for those that are interested in the good old procedural. That just came back out on. There's going to be a lot of premieres for the one-hour procedurals that are coming out this summer. So you can look forward to those. And yeah, that amidst a lot of shows that are coming out here in the summer and the fall, be sure to stock up on as much as you can before the news is or television's pretty much dominated by the presidential campaigns and debates. Whoever should happen to represent whichever party, and all the drama that's concerning that. And I'm pretty sure no matter who is going to be representing either party, you're probably going to want to latch on to those things that you watch in order to escape. Or, heaven forbid, you go outside. But in any case, we are going to go over some other options here after the break concerning some technology that's going to be able to help you out, help you save some money per month by cutting the cord of cable or satellite there. So don't be afraid. Just listen to this announcement here. Stick around. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. We'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And we're back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Going to talk here a little bit now, since we've been going over a little bit of a series about technology, those things that would necessitate you being able to get access to your television that you love without having to pay such the high cost of cable or satellite and the like. And we've talked about, we talked about the Roku there on the first show. Very interesting product. It has some different versions of it. Really one of the first to try to give the channels, as well as different subscription-based services. Like I said, Showtime was one of those. Then in the last show, we talked about the PlayStation View. I'm becoming a bit of a fan, learning more about it, mostly not just concerning the ability to watch live TV, but also the capability of getting it and not having to have a PlayStation in order to get it. So they were going to allow it on more platforms than just the PlayStation 3 or the PlayStation 4. Now, one thing I did want to clarify, as I did not do it in the last show, PlayStation View is still a service that is based on local availability. So if you go onto the website of PlayStation View, you'll have to enter in your zip code, and we'll let you know if it is available there. So it is a bit like a cable or satellite service where you're going to have to find out if it's going to be available to you. As far as the ability to get the live channels is really what PlayStation View is doing that's different from other things, whether you're going to be able to do that. So sorry I didn't bring that up in the last show, but go ahead and still check it out, PlayStation View. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of availability, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. But if not, and you're then still looking for options, there are more, and one of them is this. Amazon, your good old buddies at Amazon. I'm pretty sure you've seen the commercials starring good old lovable crazy ass Gary Busey regarding the Amazon Fire TV. Okay, now there's the Amazon Fire TV, there's the Amazon Fire Stick as well. Okay, and this one really came out. This was somewhat one of the first that was going to offer you this. So good, Chromecast, Roku still kind of banging around in the little leagues there, but Amazon, because of their ability to advertise, was one of the first you're able to see, like, oh, cool, all I need is an internet connection and I can plug in and watch this and do that. So for a while, a lot of the versions that they had, you weren't able to view on 4K. That was one of the drawbacks that I believe the Roku 4 that came out before the newest Amazon product was saying, hey, you can get yours in 4K. But Amazon was not far behind. Okay, and they weren't going to stay very far behind. So the other models that they have as far as Amazon Fire TV, of course, were always going to be necessitating up to a 1080p resolution, but weren't able to do the 4K. So for those lovely rich people or that were lucky enough to win one in a raffle, those the 4K, the Ultra HD folk weren't going to be able to get the full range or the full effect of their TV if they were going to operate with an Amazon Fire. But Amazon has alleviated that with the newest Amazon Fire TV. It comes with 4K Ultra HD and Alexa. Alexa is their service. That's the one where you talk to it. So it's like Amazon's version of Siri that allows you to, you know, record some programs if you're looking to do that. You can just talk to the remote or say, hey, Alexa, or whatever the case is, and it'll bring up shows or films that you may be looking for there on the stick. So it's not too bad. Obviously, Amazon was a little bit slow getting that out there. Usually they try to release things after or shortly after a new technology will come out. 4K kind of snuck under the radar, mostly because it's incredibly expensive. A lot of people were saying that, is it really something that you can tell the difference on? Well, in any case, people were buying 4K TVs, and people were thus wanting their peripherals, stuff like Amazon or anything else type of HD, their cable services and whatnot, their HD channels, they wanted 4K support. So ultimately, the market had to bend to that. So you got Amazon coming out with the 4K Ultra HD and Alexa Fire TV. It's something that uses, it's got the box and the TV. It's not like the stick that plugs directly in. So you would need to use the box and then have your HD cable, obviously, that's going to be compatible as well, that plugs into the TV. So you're going to get a lot there. It comes standard with, you know, with regular Amazon Video, of course, for those of you that have an Amazon account. Again, if you don't, get on it now. Netflix, YouTube, Hulu. Now, you can get the new Amazon Fire that's 4K capable, and you don't need a 4K TV in order for it to work. Obviously, it's still going to be reverse compatible. So if you don't have a 4K TV and you plug this in, they're like, hey, what are you trying to do? No. Yeah, that's not going to be the case. It's still going to allow you to work it. But if you do have that next gen up, you would be able to. So with Alexa, as previously stated, you got your Fire TV voice. You can check news. You can check sports scores. You can check the weather. You just talk to it, okay, and play music as well. The other thing that it also comes with, because we're talking about subscription-based services as well, is it comes with the ability to get HBO Now. Now, there is a difference between HBO Now and HBO Go. For those people that were using HBO Go, it had to be linked to the subscription that you had through your television provider. So whenever Game of Thrones would come out and I didn't have TV, therefore I didn't have HBO, and I would just rip off my dad's HBO Go account and get the login information, it would have to be associated with who his provider is because it's linked to those. Now, I keep saying now because I'm talking about HBO Now. I apologize. With HBO Now, you don't need a subscription through a provider. If you get the Amazon Fire TV, you can just pay $14.99 a month just to get HBO. So you can just, if you just want to pay for HBO, you can get HBO Now. You do set up an account. They make sure that you get, you know, all your stuff on file, but you'll just be able to get HBO without having to get all the other channels that you may not want to watch. So it's becoming very specific. So with those things like HBO, Stars, Acorn TV, CISO, Showtime, all of those, Amazon's really the best one to bring into the fold simply because they are bigger than Roku. You can argue that they're really bigger than PlayStation. Amazon is enormous, therefore they can bring that in. And you're also going to get live TV as well. They do offer NBC News, the NBA. You can get Sling TV as well. Again, they're still trying to keep close to Sling TV, which has got ESPN, CNN, HDTV, AMC, A&E, Cartoon Network, a whole bunch of other ones. But that's also something you can get with the PlayStation View, which, again, if I were going that route and I had the availability, I would get the PlayStation View because it's also compatible with Amazon Fire. So you have the ability, if you want to get Sling TV, you can, but you can get PlayStation View as well through Amazon Fire, which I think is pretty awesome. And it also allows you that portability because you can get your account linked up through, like I said previously, your iPad or your iPhone. So Amazon Fire is really offering a lot of different avenues, some things it may not have, but it's really going to have the best of all the world. So always something that's still looking at. My wife just texted me out of the blue yesterday. She was out of town, and she said, okay, let's get a Roku. And again, as I had gone back in the other show, I'm still going to try to convince her to let me get a PlayStation 4 for my own selfish reasons. But in the interim, I would still advocate, if you're looking to get the PlayStation View and you don't have a Sony format, to get the Amazon Fire. It's a lot more inclusive. And that's nothing to say against the Roku. Maybe if you don't trust Amazon, if you don't like that, if you're just a Roku fan, you've been on board with them, go ahead. I mean, Roku has its great points too. I mean, you can, on some versions, you can do the private listening. Like I said, so if it's getting too loud, you can just plug in the headphones to the remote. They also have the ability with the 3 and the 4, just like Amazon, to do the voice activated commands. So that's good too. But you also have expandable storage with the Amazon Fire TV. So downloading things, you can get up to 200 gigabytes. You have access to games as well over a streaming media player. So Amazon is trying to be the go-to when it comes to cutting the cord. And yeah, they're not going to find, I mean, you can buy a Roku through Amazon. They're not going to put anything down, but they want to be that provider. And they're really just at every turn, not to say that they're trying to undercut anybody or do anything, because it's still $100. It's still going to be the same cost as a Roku, but because you have Amazon backing it, it's just a monster. It allows you, Amazon, that you can get all these subscription-based services as well as everything else that Amazon, aside from the media, allows you to do. They're just enormous. I don't mind supporting them. I think Amazon's an amazing company. So that's the Amazon Fire TV, the new one, voice activation, up to 4K, HBO Now, Sling TV if you want it, PlayStation View if you want it. It's got all the bells and whistles. All right. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Here we're going to get into a little bit. Usually I would go about and I'd talk about a specific show, but I want to talk about, in the realm of television, something that is exciting for all viewers. And I'm talking about children and adults alike, okay? And that is the resurgence and explosion of animation. And I know some people may not be a fan, some of the older folks that just like, oh, cartoons are only for kids. Well, then maybe you haven't heard of this little show called The Simpsons. It's only been on for like 50 years. But the idea of things changing so much from the 1990s till now, and really I come from a generation that was, in my mind, grown up with not only had been the most cartoons at the time, but probably some of the best. And I know I'm going to seem like some Homer simply because, did you see what I did there? Simpsons Homer, whatever. simply because I was born and raised in that time period. But we rule the broadcasting world now, so I'm allowed to say that those are the best. Batman the Animated Series, okay? G.I. Joe, Thundercats, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin. Now, in comparison, if you look at the television that my parents had grown up with as far as animated shows, you still have the Flintstones. You still had the Jetsons, okay? And you had Warner Brothers cartoons. Obviously, the Looney Tunes have been around even since my grandparents were young. So those had always existed. And then there was a little bit of an explosion. You know, Scooby-Doo came out. Scooby-Doo was a big thing. Josie and the Pussycats was also out there. So the animated world started to get a little bit broader, still kind of only available in just a few different places, maybe on a certain day. And then when I was a kid with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Biker Mice from Mars, SWAT Cats, the list goes on, they were available for so many hours, maybe on a specific day or a specific couple of days, or they were in prime time. You had shows like Doug. You had shows like Ren and Stimpy, which was a Nickelodeon show, but more understood and be able to be understood by adults. That was one show that my dad liked to watch with us. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of crude and therefore funny, and my dad just thought it was hysterical. But the availability came out. So Nickelodeon was developed. Disney got their own channel, and they had, you know, the Gummy Bears. That was one that was on there. You had stuff like the Smurfs, which is, again, of an older generation, but that was being brought forward as well. So the availability of cartoons was just getting wider and wider, and Fox had their Saturday mornings, and CBS had their Saturday mornings, and ABC and all these other ones had these programs that would essentially, you know, try to vie for that kid viewing. And then there were very limited resources as far as getting an adult type show. And then Cartoon Network came out, which blew the world away because it was just dedicated to cartoons. And that's when we saw animation domination. So America was getting a taste of some anime flicks that were that had come out really like 20 years before, but had just recently been dubbed over. We saw that, and Space Ghost came back, but in a different format with Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And Cartoon Network brought it forward, and now you're looking at multiple networks that are strictly dedicated to cartoons and even throwbacks. There, Nick has one channel that just shows old Nickelodeon cartoons, but I think Disney has one as well. So the angle of that, the availability has absolutely blown wide open. But that's not the thing that makes this revolution come. What makes the revolution occur as far as animation is concerned is how easy it is to do it. When C-Lab came out, okay, or you had stuff like the Venture Brothers. Right now, what you're getting on Netflix, like BoJack Horseman or F is for Family, the old school way of making a cartoon, which was doing the hand drawings, then sending it off to somewhere in the Pacific to get animated and colored, having to spend months and months between episodes, it was very expensive, and not a lot of people could do it. But computers have brought the ability to animate characters very quickly, save environments in which to animate them in. The production cost has gone down so far, but the quality has been able to maintain. Now, shows like Archer and shows like C-Lab and shows like Frisky Dingo, those ones that are really kind of that flash format, that's primarily driven by the writing, not necessarily the aesthetic of the show. But on the other hand, not just adult shows, because I could watch Archer until the cows come home. I could do that all day simply because of how much I love the writing. But children's shows have gone that way too. My daughter watches Sophia the First and Jake and the Neverland Pirates and Doc McStuffins and all that other stuff. But for little kids, there's stuff like Super Why, a very cheaply done show. And just because it's done on the cheap, I don't mean to say that the quality is cheap. So it's becoming easier and easier and faster to make cartoons. And now that hand-drawn thing, that sending it overseas thing, that cost of production, the old-school way of doing it has been going by the wayside so much that anybody can animate something or at least put it on the internet. And they're able to turn out shows. I think South Park, they were able to do a show in 4 or 5 days, do the turnaround from writing to animation to everything, and put it out in 5 days. They almost do it as a challenge. Now, some people might argue that the writing suffered because of that, but it shows that this is the new point, that computers have not only allowed for films to be done better looking on a lower budget, but television as well. And television is largely a bigger consumer audience than film. In fact, more people are going to try to watch those movies from the privacy of their own home on their TV if they want. So what we're looking at here with the explosion of animation, I say jump on board. It's an exciting time right now for the DIY, the do-it-yourself, and these little studios that would have otherwise had no chance to tell the story, to tell the jokes, or convey the lesson. Those people are getting a better opportunity now, and I think it's fantastic. Now, there's always going to be big budget shows, you know, stuff that are period pieces and stuff like that in the live action realm that are always going to cost a bunch of money. And on the other side of that, we see shows like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that was really just trying to do a sitcom in a limited environment to keep the production down. But the world of animation, we can get beautiful and expanding stuff like the new Avatar series that was out, The Last Airbender, The Legend of Korra, and now with Voltron coming out, that's produced by those folks from the Avatar series coming out on Netflix. But the smaller markets, or not the smaller markets, but the smaller production studios that at least have ties with bigger names that are in with comedians or other people, stuff like Rick and Morty, that is able to produce on their own way and really reach out to an audience that can seem disenfranchised. It's another way to get a sitcom. It's another way to get that type of thing out there, but in a cool and interesting format, because sometimes the jokes, they only land if they have that accompaniment. And I think it's fantastic. I think all of you guys should do to try to find an animated show and really latch on to your favorite. It's a fun time. It's a great, exciting time. Well, that is it for me this week, folks. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can always download us on gsmcpodcast.com or on iTunes now. Hey, where you can also find other fine quality Golden State Media Concepts podcasts as well. You can follow us on Facebook and or the Twitter. All right. Thanks for tuning in with this week. I will be back here next week. My name is Drew, and this concludes our broadcast day.